This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience?
Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative.
Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Elliot Shore-Park's going to join us live from Indianapolis coming up at noon. We got a Clearwater check-in next hour.
Hey!
Yeah, and I've got some big questions about what's going on with the Phillies lineup and what Topper's doing and maybe what he doesn't want to do, but he has to do. We'll get to all that coming up. This segment brought to you by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or grinding? Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. All right, yesterday, we know how we spoke, and Andrew Berry spoke, and all the GMs spoke, and there was a lot of talk yesterday and today about this Myles Garrett situation. I don't want to go all in to get him. Kyle desperately does. Hugh, I could tell, wants Myles Garrett, but he's got a back away price here on Myles Garrett. We'll get back to your phone calls. First, though, let's listen to Nick Sirianni yesterday. It was my favorite Nick Sirianni press conference I ever heard. I loved what he had to say, especially
the passion.
Yeah, he had passion. I liked what I heard yesterday. But first, he was asked a question I needed the answer to, which was, how did they arrive at Kevin Pitullo? Was there a search? Because it felt like there really wasn't a search. Sirianni said, well, there was. And he did interview some people before settling on Pitullo. Here is Sirianni yesterday.
Yeah, we went through an extensive interview process for, you know, that position and the other positions that we're looking to fill. That's such an important piece to make sure. Like, it's such a good opportunity to sit and talk about coaching and kind of, you know, hear other people's thoughts. You know, I picked Kevin out of the people that we interviewed because thought he was the best man for the job, first and foremost. And also, I think that when you look at good organizations, you know, in college football, professional football, you know, continuity is very, very important. And we were able to have a guy in-house that is so ready to do the job that he's going to be asked to do. And we were able to keep continuity for Jalen. We're able to keep continuity for the receivers, AJ and Devontae, the offensive line, the offensive staff.
So, Hugh, I took two things out of that. One, he obviously thought Pitullo was ready, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's been with him a long time. He's been his pass game coordinator. But the second thing is he went to that continuity thing that they – and this brings me back to, remember, Jalen last year.
Talked about continuity.
Yeah, and now it's not the same play caller, but it's a guy that he's been here.
He's familiar with.
Yeah.
And not only that, he made it clear that he talked about how Kevin called certain plays in certain situations. He let him call the plays, so he was just trying to get him comfortable. That's what I was trying to tell people last week, that when you make these decisions and with a guy that's been in the building, he probably had more input as the season progressed and because they knew – that Coach Gruber was going to leave. So they gave him more chances to be more involved in it so that they could gauge how he does and you know, how he handles certain situations. And not only that, to help Jalen feel comfortable, because Jalen made that a big deal last year. Remember when he talked about how he wasn't comfortable and you know, he hadn't had continuity?
Yep.
So that was important to Coach to have somebody in there. And I'm pretty sure that some point Coach Pitullo said, hey, man, you know, it's looking like I might get this job. How do you feel about that? And they talked about it. There was a lot of growth within this organization right before our eyes as the season progressed. It really, really was.
Yeah, I think you're also right about the Moore thing. That, like, I always think things in the NFL or any sport, we learn about them like a few weeks after the people that actually know about them.
Mm-hmm.
They probably had a good sense that there were teams out there that thought Kellen Moore was ready and maybe he'd get a job if they did well this year, and obviously he did. All right, then Sirianni, he got really passionate here because I think he's there was a I like how strong he was on this, but
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but he wasn't. I didn't think he came off annoyed. I just think he came off like frustrated at what this conversation is in Indianapolis about the tush push. Here's Sirianni talking about the tush push, and he actually used the word insulted at the reaction this week at the combine.
I think I've seen some of the stuff like, well, you know that it's an automatic play or. You know, that it's not a, we work really, really, you know, I almost feel a little insulted because we work so hard at that play. The amount of things that we've looked into how to coach that play, the fundamentals, is always, there's 1,000 plays out there, but it comes down to how you teach the fundamentals and how the players go through and do with the fundamentals. I can't tell you how many times we practice the snap, we practice the play, because it's not a play that it's easy to practice. There's different ways we figured out how to practice it. The compliments that come off of it that can create explosive plays. Again, we saw it in big-time games this year, and the fact that it's an automatic thing, that like we work really, really hard, and our guys are talented at this play. And so... It's a little insulting to say it's just you know, we're good at it, so it's automatic. We work really hard at it. And you see it throughout the league. I mean, we saw it in the championship games that, you know, a team failed at it and ultimately didn't end up winning the game because of it.
I like that he said that. He should feel insulted. I mean, like, the league is trying to take away a play that is not illegal, that people are not getting hurt on at a significant level just because they can't do it. You know, the way it was framed yesterday with the automatic, people are talking about it like the old extra point. Like, you just roll out there like any kicker could just make a 20-yarder.
Yeah.
No, other teams have tried to tush push you, and they don't do it as well.
No, you know, I thought of a few things. I thought about a song, Knuck If You Buck by the Crime Mob. Because I think that's what happened last night when they were at the bar. And he saw Sean McDermott, and he probably shot him an ice grill. He's right. And to me, that's what it is. And I talked about this with Passion yesterday, how it's a man whoop a man. And you tried to diminish it. I'm still surprised that Coach McDermott sat there with a straight face. Because I saw the video. I went home and I watched the video. Because I like to see people's facial expression to see if they really believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
I was perplexed because he said it with a straight face, but at the same time, they ran it like 12 times to success this year. And he said, in the part that I, you know, certain words I get stuck on, and he said he's concerned about the player's safeties.
Mm.
But you made your players do it.
Over and over.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like somebody, when you say to somebody, why do you like him? Why, he's not that great or something like that. Like, they're jealousy. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Jealous. Jealous because you do something better than everybody else. Coach Bowles summed it up perfectly. He said, in this game, we're always trying to gain an edge. We're always trying to gain an edge in the NFL. They've gained an edge. Now it's us as defensive coordinators to go out there and try to gain an edge to stop it. That's what the NFL is all about. Every year, the runners, you remember back in the day, it used to be 4 yards in a cloud of dust?
Oh, yeah.
Then they started throwing the football. Then they went to the run and shoot, the fun and gun, all the mother, Air Coryell and that, all that, to change the game, to evolve the game.
There's an ebb and flow. Yeah.
So this is the ebb and flow of the NFL. We got something that you can't stop, that a lot of teams are trying to emulate. Hell, the Green Bay Packers, it did, think about it like this. The two people that's hating the most, the two people that got the most to say, are the two teams that tried to do it. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, it's ironic.
Like, seriously, that is the epitome. When the kids say, why are you hating on me? That's hating right there. That is strictly hating. You couldn't do it, So and since you couldn't do it, now you're just going to try to ban it.
So I the other thing I thought of is Sirianni probably feels a point of pride. Like, this is...
You got something that nobody else can do?
Yes. And I also think, like, if I was Nick, and the reality is he doesn't call the plays, right? He's not the mastermind like other coaches are looked at. But this is something his team implemented, and it's really good, and it helps them win. Like, I'd feel pride in it, too. And I actually saw a video yesterday that the Colts, when he was there, would take Rivers off the field, the 1 year Rivers was their quarterback, mm-hmm. and put Brissett in, and they did a little tush-push. Like, Sirianni's been...
He's been a part of this for a while.
Yeah, I don't know if you could say he invented it, but like he's crafted this, and it's worked with multiple quarterbacks. Obviously, it works great with Jalen. He also went into detail on why it doesn't even make any sense what anyone's saying, and why the injury stuff is, unless there's real data that no one else is telling us about, it's just baloney.
Yeah, I think when you look at that, because we've looked into that too, there wasn't a lot of injuries there. I think that's a little made up. To be honest, now the numbers will tell the truth, but I don't think there was many injuries with it this year. I can't remember one injury we had on that play, and we ran it more than everybody else. The injury numbers, the league will have that, and the injury numbers will come out on that, and I'm all for player safety and for that, but I don't think that play... I think that's just something that was said, but I don't think the numbers on that play suggest that. But you guys can look into that.
That was a long way of saying, get your facts straight and
get
back
to me.
Well,
he called
him a liar. Yeah.
And this is the thing. Coach McDermott's a smart man. And you knew, like, the irony of all of that, and I hate to harp on it, but it's just something that sticks in my mind when I think about this conversation, is that you sat there and talked about injuries and putting players at risk, and you did it. You did that. You did exactly that and did it. Like, you've had a couple of missteps in your career, you know, that you've said things that I'm just like, wow, you know, that's one of them.
Oh, you're talking about Sean?
Yeah, coach. Yeah, we ain't got to go into detail. We ain't got to go into detail.
No, Sean had a couple of those. How about he probably should work on beating the Chiefs and stop talking as much.
Yeah, do that, man. Do that. And, you know, Coach Reed, it's a competitive play, man, that if you want to beat it, stop it. Stop it.
Salute to Coach Bowles for actually being the to say the truth, which is like, we got to figure it out.
Let me tell you, it's going to be interesting to see how Troy comes down on this. Troy's different.
They need votes, though. I mean, they would need 24 votes to change the rule.
I'm just saying, I would. Troy's different.
You think that would mean Troy would consider changing it?
Troy's different.
Okay. Keep that in mind as the competition committee gets their hands on this one. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls. You can comment on Howie, on Nick from yesterday. And, of course, Myles Garrett. Should the Eagles go all in to acquire the great pass rusher from the Cleveland Browns? Will is in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Oh, Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, Will.
Hey, man, that was some cowardly lion thing that Green Bay did, man. Mm-hmm. That's what. They're going to have a terrible season for that. Because you know why? That show, they're a bunch of wusses, and they can't figure it out.
It's nice
so,
way
you know, they're going to have a terrible season. So, anyway, I'm going to go and say, I totally agree with you and Hugh, man, with the Miles Davis.
Miles Davis. Would you trade two ones? Yeah, two ones for Miles Davis?
I keep doing that, man. But, Miles Garrett, listen, he's a great player, man. Probably one of the best in the NFL, but like as far as what we got, you know, I would rather y'all just re-sign a couple of the key players like Cooper, Milton, and Bond. Like, we could keep them guys. They already bonding together, you know, and just like, you know, how we do, man. Let them go ahead and shake the dice and bring in some more players, right? But we keep forgetting about N'Kobe Dean. What about N'Kobe?
What about him?
I mean, like, that's still a defensive good player that we still have.
Oh, no, I thought you were about to say something else. No, he's a good player.
You mean we're kind of forgetting about him, thinking about next year's defense. Well, the issue, Will, right, is he's coming off an injury. I don't know if he's going to be ready to start the season. I heard a clip of him yesterday talking about his – apparently when he got hurt, his kneecap was, like, in his thigh. I mean, unfortunately, his injuries have been so many. I hope he comes back strong and plays the way he did this year, because he was very good this year, Will. He was very good.
Right. Yeah, very good. But like I said, man, I think we could use that money. If we, you know, just like y'all been saying earlier in the season, I mean, earlier this year, you know, Saquon, he's going to need help, man. We just need another big back, you know, to take off some of the slack from Saquon. We're going to need to bring in some other players, you know what I mean, just to keep everything good, you know what I mean? And I think Howie is the best to do it. And, you know, even with these guys that's maybe leaving, I think he's going to negotiate a good contract with them and take care of them on the back end, hopefully.
Well, hopefully. Well, the goal is, and Will, we appreciate it, to keep as many good players as possible at the good rate. Like Howie said something yesterday here where he wants to see all these guys do well, but at the same time, he's got a big picture to handle, right? Like he roots for them to get money, but he's got to save dollars. That's why his job's tough.
That's why he's as good as he is at what he does. Because he makes the tough decisions. And not only that, man, they have a good organization because you saw a couple times, guys came back for less money
yep.
because they wanted to be here. Sweat, Slay, they wanted to be here. So they have a product where, you know, people want to be a part of it because it's different. I tell you what, man, I tell you from my experience way back when, it's different going to other places. It really, really is. It's a lot different.
Well, I mean, you see it with the guy we're talking about today, in large part, Myles Garrett, right? Like, he's a great player who's trying to get out of it. When was the last time, I guess, Wentz, and that had gone so bad? When was the last time, and he wasn't even good then, but when was the last time a good player wanted out of here? Right? You know what I mean? Like, most guys.
Out of here?
Right. Oh. Almost never.
No.
It means the opposite of other places.
I was going to say Wentz, but he was terrible.
He sucked. Yeah. I mean, like.
No, Wentz's feelings was hurt, though. That was more of a pride.
And
thing.
He sucked that year.
Yeah, he did. But his pride was hurt.
The audacity for him to be the one that wanted to ask out.
I remember looking at his numbers when the trade request happened. I'm like, who are you to ask for a trade?
Who was you posted?
How did you get a first for that, man?
Howie.
You guys want to doubt this man can fit Garrett in here.
Well, also, Frank Reich had a weird obsession with Wentz. I mean, what the heck was he trading a first-round pick for Carson Wentz for? That was a disaster. Larry in Philadelphia. Hey, Larry.
Hey, man.
Hey, Larry.
Joe and Hugh,
mm-hmm.
why y'all being plant-based, man?
Plant-based?
Larry, what? Like, see this? Wait a minute, Larry.
Well, I am plant-based. So
I understand you're trying to go on with the personal tax, but what have we said that does not make sense to you this whole day? We've been on this air for 2 whole hours. What did we say logically that you did not get?
No, I get everything you're saying. I do. But to add Myles Garrett to this defense that we have, it's not only a statement, but, you know, like you said, Myles Garrett is 30. He's getting up in age, right? For him to be on the Cleveland Browns all those years, knowing that, you know, they're not going to go anywhere, and we get Saquon, and then he sees what Saquon does, like, well, I want that. Like, I'm up there in age. I want a Super Bowl. Like, you know, if they can do that with him, like, I'm one of the top dudes in the NFL alongside that defense. Why not want to come up? Why not go get him and make that happen?
Because it, like, costs too much. How much are you willing to give up to get him?
He got 2 years left on his contract. I get that. I understand that 100%. But if you can get him a sensitive, like, all right, look, you give me 9 sacks, you come over here, you 9 sacks, we'll give you a couple dollars for that. Along with paying you 2 year contract.
See, Larry,
he
this
wants
is where,
40 million
see,
a year,
see,
Larry.
See, this is where
those 2 years while he's here. He's liable to win the Super Bowl.
We're liable
to go to the next Super Bowl within the next 2 years.
In the next 2 years, we're liable to win with the guys that we have because we did it this year.
But it's not as likely.
But, like, it's not.
Basically, we're saying that Myles Garrett wins us the Super Bowl. That's what we're saying.
That's not what I said at all. No, I said it's more likely.
So, Larry, I understand your point. I understand your point.
I don't understand
this
point.
Well, I do. He thinks the next couple of years, we get something while he's here, and then if he declines, he declines. We get the Super Bowl. But
how much is that going to cost you, Larry? How much are you willing to pay for that?
Also,
what is the price tag that you're willing to pay?
I find it interesting how we're...
Larry's gone.
I'm just saying. I just don't understand.
We're ready to lower the bar on Myles Garrett's decline here if we win. Like, if the Eagles trade 2 first-round picks and give Myles Garrett $40 million a year in extension, and he only has 9 sacks... It's a disaster.
They just
got 8 sacks out of Josh Sweat after making him take a pay cut.
All right.
You don't need to do this to get 9 sacks out of an edge rusher.
He's going
to
be mad at me, but I'm about to make the Saquon comp again. If Saquon fell off a cliff next season, would we say that getting him was worth it?
Yes, but you only gave up $13 million
no, no, no,
of cap
no, because
room.
Because
no,
even if
picks.
We trade no, no, because even if we traded two first round picks and we won the Super Bowl this year and then he fell off, we would still say it's worth it.
But Kyle,
not me.
But let me tell you the difference between that and Myles Garrett. There's a good chance that Saquon is going to fall off because he carried the ball 500 times this year.
Yeah.
And I know that. That's why I'm so adamant about going out and getting another running back. Mm-hmm. Because I know that the likelihood of him not being the guy that he was this year, he's still going to be a good back. He's not going to be the guy he was last year. It's highly likely.
So would he apply the same logic to getting more edge rushers? Because
no.
We don't know if it's as likely that they'll be able to replicate what they did last year.
No. That's where I keep saying you can't use the same argument, because my argument for that is this. I'm getting production from the guys that I have. It's not the same as Myles Garrett. He's a hell of a player. He's a Hall of Fame player. But I'm getting the same production from the guys that I have, but you're asking me to pay more.
But you're about to lose two of those guys.
Yeah, but I'm also going into a situation where I'll have the opportunity to go draft some young guys that I'm going to have control for 5 years.
I'm making a declaration right now. We go into next season with Jalix Hunt, Nolan Smith, and a rookie on the edge. We're screwed.
Bryce
we're
Hunt
not winning the Super Bowl.
Wait, see, Kyle.
But that's not going to help anybody here.
Let's not get stuck on that Bryce Hunt thing. I just
you
that
brought
out.
It up.
I just brought that up. But still. We have some young guys here, and I believe in this coaching staff and their tutelage, where they're gonna be okay.
So but they're not miracle workers.
No, but
they're not. Kyle, seriously, did they not work a miracle this year?
Okay, but the thought
seriously?
That they're gonna just be able to do it again next year with another
Kyle,
rookie isn't
like. Did you
like,
think they were gonna do it this year?
That's the point. Is that it's not like this was crazy to happen. This was an outlier.
But it doesn't happen. This is not an outlier. This is good coaching.
You know what? But I understand Kyle's point that if we lose all this and don't replace it, then next year is going to be tougher. But like, I think there's a way where you have what they have with Nolan and Jalix. I'm not even including Bryce Huff. They could sign a Khalil.
Not include him.
They could sign a Khalil Mack for a 2-year deal. Keep the two first round picks, and they end up just as good.
All right, but we're talking about Garrett being cooked. What's Khalil Mack going to be?
But I'm only signing him for I don't know what he's going to get. 2 years, $35 million.
But the variance in what production we could get from Khalil Mack is way larger than Myles Garrett.
But
Myles
I keep my first round like, pick.
Screw the first round pick.
Stop.
Kyle is not about that young.
I'm so
life.
Sick of the first round pick crap. It's number 32. He's basically a second round pick anyway.
That's what Nolan Smith was.
Awesome.
He was the best
get
pass rusher
Nolan
in the
Smith
playoffs.
In the second round.
Smith was the best pass rusher on a Super Bowl champion.
And you know what? We're going to have another second round pick where we can get a Nolan Smith
and
we get rid of this one for Garrett.
Like,
the thing we all want is another Super Bowl championship. The guy that was the best pass rusher on a Super Bowl champion came from that pick.
Right.
So that could happen again.
That's a good point.
No, but I think the point is that that's a little more far-fetched to expect than a perennial all-pro player coming in and helping you win the Super Bowl. That is basic math right there. I know we're not good at math on the show,
perennial
but that's
pro.
True.
Why, until now.
Why do we
until
always
Why is it until now? This
attacks.
Is what you said about Saquon last year.
Actually, Saquon was better than he ever was before he got
why
here.
Why did it always get personal?
And only one of us recognized that.
Football guy over here. I like how we ignore every other data point because Saquon was good. All the other data points
other data point
don't count. Saquon was great.
I want him. You're an idiot.
Well, how about this
that
data point? Myles Garrett is the best defensive player in the league.
Has been. We'll see if he
why
will
is
be.
He, why is he just not going to be if you come you're playing next to Jalen Carter at age 30?
Well, he might be
this
next year.
This is crazy.
He might
see,
be
I'm
next
not,
year.
I'm not
Do you think he will be in 3 years?
Dude, if Myles Garrett goes.
Do you think he'll be the best defensive player in the league in 3 years? I would say almost zero.
Okay, but what if we win the Super Bowl next year and then we go to the championship the year after that? Who cares about the third year?
I do. 215. That year always arrives. We always do this as sports fans. Unless you don't plan on being on Earth, you're going to watch the Eagles in 3 years. And you'll complain about him then if he stinks.
No, that's not necessarily the case, because what we can do is what you guys said.
WIP, we won't complain.
No, hold on. Because what you guys said, we have great coaching. We can get young players. Garrett doesn't make that. Garrett doesn't end that for you.
I know,
we can do it anyway.
215-592-9494.
Gotta have something to work with, though.
That's true. Elliot Shurpar's gonna join us next from the Combine. The latest on Zach Bond's market. Is he the priority? What could he cost for the Eagles? Elliot and I disagree on how much Bond's gonna get. I think this is gonna be higher than we expect.
Yeah, he's about to get paid.
We'll see if the Eagles are willing to pay him. 215-592-9494. For all your calls on Garrett, the Eagles, free agency, and Elliot next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.